You're listening to the Sarah Fader podcast, and I'm Sarah Fader, and this is what anxiety feels like. I'm here with my homeboy, Michael Shields. What up?
What up, Sarah? Thank you for having me on.
Oh, of course. And Michael,
I thought I was going to miss my opportunity because I know we scheduled one recently, and I wasn't able to do it, and I was like, oh, I hope she gets back at me. I hope she gets back at me. So thank you.
Oh, yeah, and actually that is going to segue nicely into what I was going to say, which is I texted you, and I was like, oh, yeah, let's do another podcast. And you were like, I was hoping you would circle back. And then, so I love expressions that are, I don't know where they come from. Would that be an idiom? What is that?
Well, oh, you're talking about circle back?
Yeah, is that an idiom? I don't know what an idiom means.
What is exactly an idiom mean? That's a good question. But I use that. I find myself using circle back all the time. Do you have a story about it?
I have a story about it, but first I want to know. First I want to know, like, where does it come from? Because, okay, circle back.
Well, I mean, an idiom is a group of words established by usage as having a meaning not deducible from those of the individual. Uh-oh, the thing went off the screen. I am reading it. Of the individual words. So reigning like cats and dogs, see the lights of circle back.
It's an idiom. Let's call it an idiom. So,
let's do it.
So I have only heard this. I have only heard this express. Let me put it like this, okay?
Yeah.
You are the only individual who has used this expression that I like in the world.
Oh my God. It's like, it's a sign of people you don't like.
No, I mean, I just noticed, like, you're a good friend, and I love you, but everyone else that has used that expression, I'm like, oh, man. But because you know why I think you use it, actually, is because you work with clients, and you probably heard that from clients.
Yes, exactly. Circle back. So, oh, my gosh, did I give you, like, chills when I said it? You're like, oh, wait, maybe he's one of them.
No, my eyes bugged out of my head, and I was like, Michael, are you in there?
He's like, I thought I knew you.
I thought I knew you. Do you have an Android phone? Do you have is there an AOL email address? Like, I was really scared. But see, here's the thing about circle back that does not make sense to me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you circle back, you are right where you started.
Exactly. It's a full thing. So I guess circle back to the conversation, it could be, where you actually come around to that point where you're talking about it again.
That makes sense. I think my problem with this expression is that I feel like what we're saying is there's no progress.
Yeah,
We're circling back, and it's when people make that mistake, and instead of saying doing a 180, they say do a 360, and then you think to yourself, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. You know what I come upon a lot when I'm editing and stuff is like center around and versus center on, and I'm always correcting. I feel like it's another overused phrase that I just see, conversation centered on or centered around, and centered around doesn't make sense, right?
No, it does not make sense.
It does not make sense.
It does not.
I'm always like, we need an on there.
I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with that. I also have a problem with this. Well, let me not corrupt you, and I'll ask you your opinion and see what you think.
Ooh.
Okay. What is the right choice here between these two options?
Okay.
All right. No, wait, I have to think of exactly the phrasing I don't want to mess this up.
Why am I nervous?
Okay. I spilled the milk by accident is option A. I spilled the milk by accident. Option B is I spilled the milk on accident.
Ooh.
So yeah, tell me what.
By accident, on accident. Oh my God, my head is spinning. I spilled the milk on accident. You're not on. So by.
Yes.
100%.
Yes. Thank you. And that's coming from a literary person, because let me tell you something. When somebody says they did something on accident, I want to take a fucking penis, like a limp dick, and throw it at them. I'm like, no, absolutely not.
I've always loved strong opinions like you're sharing right now on these type of things. Just like when someone has like you know, a real problem with some sort of wrong phrasing, I'm always like, go ahead, I get it. You know, that makes sense to me.
No, it makes me physically ill. I'm like, no, it's not on accident.
Yeah.
What does that even mean? What does that even mean?
On the accident.
No. What? Like, I want to know what that means, though. What does that actually mean?
Hear it so often. That's why I was when I started kind of comparing them. It just sounded so natural because it is out there in the world.
Right. But while I want to actually understand, okay, if you're listening to Michael and I talking, when you're listening to this podcast, please tweet at us and explain if you use this phrase, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yes, exactly. If you have a strong opinion that it is on accident, explain yourself via Twitter.
We want to know. We want to know. Tweet us at Across the Margin and at the Sarah Fader. But you have to include both of us because we both want to know.
Yeah, this is information. We'll start the dialogue. We'll be not even though there's a strong opinion on Sarah's side. We'll be nice.
We're not gonna hate you. We're not gonna you know ostracize you because you obviously don't know how to speak English. But,
we're not trying to start a Twitter war and embarrass you for your lapse of reasoning.
Right. Sometimes people make mistakes that are terrible and end lives.
Yeah, you know? And this is one of those. How's Portland?
Oh, Portland.
Brooklyn, this is you.
Oh, I miss Brooklyn. You know what I was thinking about nostalgically is our writing workshop?
It was writing your truth. I wanted to talk to you about this. I actually foresaw, and I think you did, prior to the move of us building that workshop into something we do on the regular. I loved it. I love the idea where we bring some writers in who are working on their craft, but not only were we, you know, helping them frame their stories and all that, we were getting them to talk about something that was difficult for them to talk about. And you know, in that way, I think people found it very cathartic and healing. And I loved that we were doing that.
I think we should do it again. And I think even us being bi-coastal, we could work it out. You know, I mean, you could have people in-house and Skype. We could do it.
Yeah, I like the idea. Are we dropping the announcement now that there might be a return of the Writing Your Truth workshop?
Let's bust out our Google calendars and just make it happen.
I really do love the idea. The logistics are definitely things to be worked out, but it was something I was proud of, and I of course enjoyed working with you, and it was something that might need to be in the world.
You know what I think we should do? And I love that we're like doing this on Skype on a podcast because it's hilarious, mm-hmm. but this is what we do. We do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because we're spontaneous, creative people. Okay, so I think that we should have it be primarily in person. Like we put a Craigslist ad up. We screen the people and they go to your house. We make sure they're not insane. Like we make sure.
Yeah. No. First things first. No murderers.
No.
No sociopaths.
No.
Narcissists are welcome.
Narcissists are definitely welcome because we're fascinated by you. We're fascinated. Yes. We don't really understand, but we want to.
Yeah. I like the idea. I guess that's why I kind of went away after the move. I do like the personal touch. There is something about discussing these things in person. Even what I wrote, it was something it's difficult to discuss. And I was, everything that we put out that came from that was pretty intense stuff, and it's a lot easier to discuss in person.
We're gonna do this, but I need an opinion. Okay.
Yeah, please.
I need an opinion because first of all, let me just say as an aside, I may be very sleep deprived. Not maybe, but I am.
You look good.
I'm
sleep deprived. Are we talking?
We're talking like, let's see, when I went to sleep. You know this because you're a dad. You know when you're like, I'm just going to lie down for like a minute. And then all of a sudden it's like 7 in the morning.
Absolutely. I slept in the other day and my daughter woke me up at 9. And I've never done this. And I think I was just so tired on Monday morning. I took her to school like at 10 and she thought it was the funniest thing in the world. She's like, I was poking you, and I just like my body needed the rest.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, I just got a text message from the kryptonite person that we were discussing, okay? I've written about so many times on Across the Margin.
So Sarah has, she released six pieces that they're all really at Across the Margin, acrossthemargin.com. That's the site we're talking about that I am the head editor at. But one's called The Day I Died, one's called The Last Time, one's I Found Love Once, another, oh, I love this, My Wing, Your Foot, Blue, and the first one was called Goodbye. They're all intense. So what Sarah is saying that she, a lot of these pieces do come back to a one person. Is that correct?
Yeah, they mostly come back to one person. There's one of them that I can remember off the top of my head that is about another person. Of course, they're all about men because men suck.
Yeah, the worst.
The worst.
The absolute worst. It's embarrassing.
If you have a penis and you're listening to this, you are a terrible person.
And they get it. We get it. Anyone who's aware, you know, been around enough men, we know how terrible we are.
Yeah, but you are, to me, you're a cancer. You're an exception to the rule.
I love that you remember that and know that.
Listen, we're homies. We're homies for life.
Totally,
life,
that's how it works.
That's how it goes, you know, because I'm a fake Libra. I got so much Scorpio up in here. I'm so loyal. Like, you know, and you understand this as a Cancer. Like, we're like, we love you. Here's some food. Let's nurture you until you until you fuck with me, and then it's on.
And it's trouble.
Yeah, you don't want to fuck with a Cancer because you'll be like, oh, hell no.
I wish I knew how to shake a grudge.
I
really
know.
Do.
Me too. Can we learn?
I think you can learn and grow. I believe that.
I believe in us. Listen, if you're listening to this right now and you have some tips for Michael and I as to how we can let go of our anger towards horrible people, please let us know.
There's definitely a way. There's the human mind is too special of a thing.
No,
it's not.
Okay, yeah, no, it is. You're right. Okay. So this person that I am, you know, having trouble with, right, just texted me something that has an obvious typo that is like, I don't know, like, it's to the point where I'm like, what? How did this even become part of that text message?
Is the typo a troll? Does he know that you might be going crazy over a typo? Is he that sick?
Oh, no, that would be so fucked up. Can you
imagine? That would be so fucked up. Someone including typos into text messages of people that they know that bother.
Oh,
that
my God. Wait, can we actually, like, start a movement like that?
Absolutely. I believe there's enough trolls out there in the world, but it just that is a fun, unique way.
Wait,
how
do we do that? Okay, so I think what we should do is I'll write something on Across the Margin that's kind of like a McSweeney's type piece.
You know what? Initially, when I started the site, I assumed we'd have a whole lot more like that because I've always been infatuated with McSweeney's. I'm a huge Onion fan. I thought we'd be a whole lot more sardonic.
I'm going to be sardonic for you.
Yeah,
so
that'd be cool.
I'll tweet you. I don't know if you've seen my McSweeney's piece. I was like stunned that these people accepted it.
Yeah, what did you write? I think I've seen it. What was it again?
Okay, I'm going to read you an excerpt because it's really funny.
Yeah. What's the title?
It's called, something like, and so it has, I know it has social media interview in the title.
Okay.
A brutally honest social media job interview.
Oh, yes, I read this. Yes, totally.
Right. So here's an excerpt for the people that have not heard this. Just because like everybody in the world, I have a tinge of narcissism. We all do. We all do. Right?
No question. Absolutely. 100%.
Okay, but
it protects us in a lot of ways.
It
too.
Does. But before I get there, okay, so I have a couple thoughts on this. First of all, I need to know what I should do. Should I point the typo out? He didn't do it on purpose.
He didn't do that. Yeah, we're past that, definitely. You know what? It's almost, I don't know what the text is about, but sometimes it seems trivial to the discussion to be pointing out by a text. People are running around.
Right.
They are shooting these texts from the hip. You know, I always get pissed sometimes when I'm like on a really, really busy day when I'm shooting someone a text and, you know, trying to arrange something and they're like, it's there, not there. And I'm like, it's, you know, it's Autocrack fucking did that, first off.
Yo, that was not my fucking shit, okay?
Not my shit, man.
You're like, give me a fucking break. Oh, okay, okay. Now, I realize now, upon rereading this text,
yeah,
what the typo is. I understand, okay. I understand, like, I can infer what it is referring to.
What caused it? Is that it again?
Okay, no, that's something else, because this person is not a compulsive texter as I am. I have a problem.
Yeah. Oh, you do.
I have a problem. I'm so glad I haven't done it to you. I really do. You know what I have? Yeah. What I have done to you, and you're so patient. What I have done to you, when I do this to people that I'm close to, is I have called you maybe a couple of times to make sure that you are actually not available.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, that's
it's all good, Doug.
Yeah, but see, you're a Cancer. You don't care. But because you're like, that's love. You love me.
It is love. You know? Exactly. It's showing affection. Let's read the thing for him. We can't leave him hanging now that we mentioned the McSweeney's piece.
Okay. Well, we're not going to leave him hanging, but let's resolve this text message
issue. Five first things first. I'm not just going
to
forget it.
We need to discuss. Okay. So I should not point it out. Is the resolution.
My gut feeling. That's my gut feeling.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Secondly, now, it's a nice message. It's nice. Mm. It's checking in. It's asking how I'm feeling about a certain topic. So mm-hmm. I've already, not playing games, I've already waited 30 minutes to respond, because obviously Michael and I have things we have to do, and we're very busy.
We're taping a podcast right now.
Right now. We were discussing important life topics. We were catching up on things.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have time to attend to this text message.
Yeah.
So now, you know, like, after we're done with our important business matters, I can possibly respond if I choose to.
If you choose to.
Now, I will, I think I will make the right choice. Oh, the dog is very cute. We have a cute dog.
I'm looking at you. I see your cat right now. Your cat's so cute.
Let me tell you something. This animal.
Yeah.
Okay. He's actually not a cat. He is a dinosaur.
Oh, stuck in a cat's body.
Absolutely. There's something. He talks about
something ancient.
Something ancient, but also something antiquated. He's got a personality disorder, for sure.
Oh, okay.
For sure. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't care about anybody.
There's no love.
Cats, from time to time, mm-hmm. display narcissistic traits. They want you to love them, and they may or may not return it.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, first of all, let me tell you, one time I ordered steak, okay? Mm-hmm. And I went in the other room to talk to my kryptonite person.
Yep.
I came back, steak is gone.
The cat ate your steak?
The whole fucking thing.
I didn't even know they did that. That they would like that they dig in on human foods at that level. You know what? I don't know cats well, but just got my daughter Madeline two cats, and I've always kind
of. Are you serious? Hello. Are they
Snowflake? I've been excited to tell you. I have written down on a piece of paper right next to me cats.
Thank God. Where are they? Where are they?
I don't know where Snowflake is. So Snowflake and Cuddles. I'll send you a picture after this.
Stop it! Wait! Stop! Pause. My first cat, when I was 6 years old, was named Cuddles.
You have a Cuddles? So Cuddles, I am falling, you know, like I said, I've never had cats. I am absolutely falling in love with these cats, and it's because of Cuddles.
Oh my God.
Wait, Cuddles is the tan one. I'm showing Sarah.
Are they related?
They're brother and sister. Look, they sleep on each other like this.
Stop it. Wait, is one of them friendlier than the other one?
Yes, Cuddles is living up to the name Cuddles,
okay.
And Cuddles is sweet. The other one is skittish. Snowflake is really, she's freaked out.
Okay.
She's having a tough time.
We need to take a screenshot of this because it's going to be like the thing that we do. Maybe we should do something weird. I don't know. Should we do something? Oh, no, wait, do you still have your coffee? We can hold up our coffee cups.
We can hold up our coffee cups.
Because we're writers. We are, you know.
I got a pen. I got a pen too.
Okay. Okay, that's great. So now, what do I do? Do I respond? Do I say something? Mm. Is there brevity? Is it a length? I feel like no lengthy text message.
Yeah, no lengthy text message. I feel like I don't have enough information. I definitely don't want to pry to figure out.
Excuse me, have we met? Okay, so this is the background right now in terms of the information that is relevant to this. Mm-hmm. Okay, the background is I have not spoken to you, and speaking means like phone or text or carrier pigeon or any kind of anything.
It's all encompassing. No
speaking.
Yeah.
To this.
No contact verbally or written.
No,
nothing.
No interpretive dance.
No dance. Nope.
No. Yes. So it's been 48 hours.
Oh, 2 full days. That's what that equals. Yes.
Let me tell you something. You know me, and that is like 3 years for me.
Yeah, that's a huge 2-day-long fuck you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Exactly. So now
100%.
So and you know, because guys are like, you can't ignore me. And then meanwhile, they don't give a fuck because they'll ignore you like that's it.
Totally. That's their move. The no talk.
The no talk. You know that you fucking did that back when you were dating. You know.
Fuck yeah, I did. I'm very ashamed of some of the dumb things when I didn't know how to properly discuss the harder times in relationships. It's fucking. It is hard for a young growing mind, but still, there's a better way.
There's always a better way. Maybe the sequel to this is we instruct the millennials on how to date.
Yeah, hopefully they're more open. Hopefully they're, you know, when they're sexting each other and doing that, maybe they're communicating on a different level. Who knows?
Maybe like, you know what? Yes. So
yeah, maybe they're like, fuck it. Because, I mean, they're used to a more public persona of who they are, and that's something they had to deal with. They're growing up, like, you know, with their lives on social medias, and
so
and maybe that does lead to some increased communication of some kind.
Perhaps, but maybe they're now hearing you say that makes me think that I'm profoundly immature. Because if you read my Twitter stream, or if you read anything at all that I post on Facebook, and people consistently defriend and unfollow me because one, I am prolific, and and two, I'm super emo.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so like,
absolutely.
So I think I
you might be a millennial.
See what I'm saying?
This is,
we're on the same wavelength, always on the same page.
You were meant for this time period in a lot of ways.
But that's so weird. Does that mean that I'm like,
it's not weird if I'm sorry to interrupt you right there.
No,
it
no,
is
no.
not weird when I see Sarah Fader like saying bye to her Facebook, and then I'm like, I'll see her on Facebook next week.
I'll see you next week. Right. see you next Tuesday, which is actually an acronym for cunt. But
yes, it is.
But I mean, this is the thing, is I need to stop doing that shit, but I also I also wonder sometimes, because of my over-analytical nature of wondering. Somebody, my best friend just asked me if I'm still on Snapchat, which I am not.
Oh, did you get off? Yes. I tried Snapchat for like a day or two. And
it's
fine. You know what? I just have enough, too. I have
I know.
You know, whether it be website and everything else,
yes,
you know.
It's too much.
With promotions, I can only handle a certain amount. So I'm trying to figure out which ones do the best for the progress.
Now,
yeah.
Okay. So this is the thing, is that does this emo-ness of me, like this, that's not a word. But anyway, that my nature of being emo on public platforms, does that make me immature? That's what I want to know.
It's not a sign of advanced maturity, but it's at the same time, I find there's a strength in not giving a fuck and just putting yourself out there and you know, this is me, this is what I'm feeling. I don't know, because I believe in too much maturity being a problem in a lot of ways. And,
oh my
you know.
God, Michael, we need to quote you on that. That is, you know what, let me fucking tweet that shit right the fuck now. I believe in too much maturity being a problem. Now, because you know what, that is so wise. It really is.
I mean, I there's a lot of youthful things I do that it's purposeful. I'm purposely and defiantly trying to hold on to youth in some ways, and maybe that does lead to some behavior that might seem, you know,
beneath the age of almost
4 decades that I am.
Absolutely. Wait, are you 40?
Almost.
Wait, are you 39?
Yeah.
Wait, when do you, oh, are you, do you turn 40 in the summer?
This year.
Okay,
yep.
So you're 78 then?
Yeah, 78, yep.
Okay, so that's cool. So I'm 79, so we're homies in that direction.
Homies, we're right in the area,
right,
yeah.
That's why we get it too. That's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I'm waiting for a banger of a midlife crisis. When does that go down?
Well, you know what? When you're ready, let's
just let you know.
Just let me know, and we'll go to the dealership and get matching red Corvettes.
Totally.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
I believe that, wait, did you say I believe that too much maturity is a problem?
It can be a problem, I believe.
Okay, because we want to predicate that. Let's not go for absolute black and white.
I can't stand absolutes either.
Right.
No one's got it all figured out. Except by accident is the answer. It's not on accident. That is an absolute.
We need to know. Again, let's reiterate. If you are listening to this and you use the term on accident, meaning give me an example sentence, Michael.
I spilled my beer on accident.
Now, if you have said that or something similar,
explain yourself
to us via Twitter. We don't understand you,
and we want to.
We want to. We're
we
trying,
want to.
We're
we,
trying
maybe,
to.
Maybe our mind can be changed. It won't, but maybe it could.
I don't believe that they will, but you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, that's another thing. If you are waiting, okay, at the DMV in Brooklyn.
Online.
Is it online or in line?
I've gone back. I kind of like both.
I know.
When you're online, it
yes.
makes sense to me.
We think the same way about that, too. I don't actually,
yeah.
that I don't care about. That's not.
I don't think. I don't care about that. Sometimes when I first started hiring online, I'm like, ooh, I kind of like that.
I actually would say,
yeah.
if I were to pick one, if it just came out naturally, it would probably be online.
Okay, it would. That's your natural goods. Mine, I think mine would definitely be in, but I like that.
I would say on, because I feel like, but actually in makes more sense because you're in a line.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yes.
But I think online.
Yeah, you're not on it, but still, I would have always liked the terminology.
I think the reason I would say online is because, you know, there's a line that,
mm-hmm.
that you are a part of.
Yep.
You're on it. But,
yes.
but if you think about it in a literal sense, there is no physical line there unless I am mistaken.
Usually they do not. In lines, they don't put down a physical line to mark where it is.
I mean, this is not PS 321.
It's not
this
Disney
is,
World
this
either.
This is not Disney World. We don't have chalk indicating.
No. Wrap around lines for days.
Nope. So, yes, I'm quoting you. I believe that too much maturity can be a problem.
I believe is what I said.
I think that's great. Okay, so now do I respond to this? Do I respond in a kind, empathetic way? Do I respond in a neutral way? Like what? Oh, right. You wanted a context. So the context is this.
I do.
The context is that I plan to go to, by the way, if you are free this weekend, I will be in Brooklyn.
Oh, no, that's bullshit. Because I am going, I'm in San Francisco. I'm going.
No.
The Bay Area Book Festival. I don't know when this podcast comes out, but if any San Franciscoans are around, we're across the margin is at the Bay Area Book Festival in Berkeley this weekend. We're excited to try that one.
You know what?
That's
some bullshit.
Bullshit. You go to see your family?
I am, but I also am going to see a psychiatrist for my kiddo.
Okay, good.
You know, because he's got some OCD situations happening
mm-hmm.
and you know, we have a family history of stuff, so we want to make sure that we're doing the right meds.
Great.
You know,
And is this a psychiatrist that he's seen before you move that you trust? And
yes, because the problem I have, I got to hang out with Chris and we can decompress about mental health here. But
mm-hmm.
the thing is, Chris Thompson, by the way, is the co-founder of Across the Margin.
Co-editor.
Go
he
ahead.
Was not around during the founding days, but he, I recognized his talent, pretty soon after it was founded. So he's the co-editor at Across the Margin.
Okay. So
yep.
he is now...
He runs our arts department, too. He's a badass graphic designer.
Hello.
And just does a lot of in-house artwork for
That's
us, which
I'm
is
talking
awesome.
About.
It's crucial.
Wait a second. Yeah. You have a separate Twitter for the podcast?
Do I?
Across the Margin.live.
Oh, you know what? That was something that does not really, that's kind of an inactive account.
Okay.
So no, the answer is no. That was some, I don't even know exactly why we were doing that. I think we were going to be tweeting from events or readings or just thought it would be some sort of live. Yeah, that's no good.
Just add across
the margin.
Okay, so I guess we're going to have to wait until over the summer when I can come on Across the Margin podcast.
Well, I will be out there, and I know this is further in the summer. We always come out, and you got to check this out. It's awesome. It's called Wordstock in Portland.
What?
It's November 10th this year. We go annually. We've gone two years in a row.
Okay,
it's one of the best, most vibrant book festivals.
You pay for it, or it's free?
We pay for it. It's always been worth it for us. And you even have to buy a ticket. So people who go, they're huge book enthusiasts. People come out for it. It's down, it's in the museums downtown, different museums scattered around Portland. We love it. November 10th. So we'll tape a podcast when I'm out there.
Okay.
And we could even do another one of these. I definitely want you on Across the Margin podcast.
Too. Okay. So another thing is, wait, when do you come out for that? Do you come out a little before? No.
Yeah.
Back up.
Please.
Okay. If permitting,
if
there's like a work, a way to do this, because you're pretty flexible with your job, right? Like,
yeah.
Okay. So if you can come out at the end of October, I am co-producing This Is My Brave. It's a show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I would love for you to see it because you're my homie for life.
Yeah.
You know?
What is it? Congratulations.
This Is My Brave. So, and you know what? Even if you cannot come, would you like to write something that I could read for you?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
That would be great.
So
I'd be honored.
I think what I would like for you to write is something that either about depression or like how you had panic attacks after your dad got sick.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
absolutely,
maybe that. Because I think that I personally, you know what? Let's do this. And I love that you're always like, yes, let's do things. Like you're so good about that.
Yeah,
like we are very spontaneous and just do things.
Yeah, you have to.
Okay, so the one, the two things that we've taken out of this podcast, many things we've learned. But one thing is that we are going to, we're announcing this now. We are going to revisit our writing workshop, which is called Writing Your Truth. We are going to, if you're interested and you're in Brooklyn, please let us know because we will let you know the dates of when this is happening. We're going to do it.
It all could happen fast. We've done it before.
We've done it before.
Piecing it together is not going to be too challenging.
It's not challenging. What we do.
It's exciting.
It's exciting. We're all literary individuals. We have editorial experience, and you know, Michael has been. How long has Across the Margin been around?
It'll be its 6th year. So we've published about 1,200 to 1,300 pieces. At this point, a couple books. We'll have a couple more books out.
Some of the books? Because
yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, we have one called Seneca Rebel. That's a young adult fiction novel, kind of sci-fi. The other one's a shorter book, and it's also dystopian fiction. But we have a memoir coming out this year and a really weird poetry book coming out.
Send me the weird poetry book because you know I love that shit.
It's fucking twisted. It's awesome. The guy's name is John Gosley. He's from CNR Press. He's so talented. So
okay,
when it's ready, I'll get it out.
Now I don't know. I don't like to label things, but I may be hypomanic right now. But I don't know because I'm making somewhat of a. I'm making some sense.
You're making sense.
You would tell me if I made no sense.
Yes, you're making sense.
Okay.
More than you think, I think.
Okay, good. So we're going to, you know what it is? I think the thing is you and I also share is we are visionaries and dreamers. So,
definitely dreamer.
I mean, not to be narcissistic, but we dream and we follow them. And that's why Across the Margin came about is because you were like, I'm going to make an online magazine.
Submitting work all around, and I'm like, any site I see, I'm like, they should be doing this. This could be better here. This is, you know, why not? Why can't I just do that?
Right. So what I was going to say is Michael is the editor. What is your title at Across the Margin?
I guess chief editor.
Yeah, editor-chief.
Jack of all trades over there.
Jack of all trades, cancer sensitive fellow. But editor in chief of Across the Margin, which is a literary magazine that I've written for 6 times, and this is going to be the 7th coming up.
Please
get you know what? Get ready.
You're gonna drop a bomb. I know it. I can feel it.
You're not even ready for this. I'm also gonna forward you an article that I wrote about miscarriage that I think.
Oh wow. I would love to read that.
You want to? Oh wow! This guy is really trying to. He's trying to talk to me now.
And he just texts again.
No, is now there's like a multitude of media happening. Email.
Oh, an email!
Wow.
Oh my God.
Okay. You know well, what? You know
you got to give him credit. He's using all the resources at his hands.
You know what I want to do? And I let me know if I should do this. I think that this is the response I'm going to give him, and I'm going to stick by this because I fucking hate texting. Okay. I'm retarded, and I'm using that word not in the Down syndrome way. I'm using it in the literal sense of the word, meaning in music, retard means to slow down.
Slow, yeah.
So I have a visual spatial learning disability, and I know I'm aware that you have 4 minutes and you need to go do things. I'm aware.
And we need to read McSweeney's.
It's in there. But I'm glad you reminded me. So writing your truth. So basically what I'm saying is, and also let me just say this before, because I just caught myself and my OCD was like, ding, ding, you did this.
Yeah.
Here are words that never belong in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, ultimately, really, very.
Yeah, totally.
Do not use those words because they are meaningless.
Yep. They're nonsensical qualifiers. It's sometimes I find myself writing them, and then on my first edit, going back, you just take them out because they didn't mean shit.
Take them out.
They didn't mean a damn thing.
They don't mean anything, and I learned that from my Shakespeare professor at Ithaca College, and I will forever be grateful. Another thing is, like you said earlier, it's natural to do those, right? It's natural to include those in writing because that's where your brain goes automatically. But
absolutely.
We also have weird automatic thoughts all the time, like I'm a fucking loser. And then you have to go, no, you're not. But anyway, my point is there's that. And then the other one is black and white thinking, which we talked about earlier. So if you say, I always go to the store and buy coffee on Wednesdays, maybe you don't always do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe there's a Wednesday where you don't go to that store because you think, I'm going to get a chai latte. So that's like a simplistic version of that.
Yeah.
But
it's not real. It's not authentic.
It's not authentic. So you want to modify that and say, most of the time, you know, things of that nature. Because if you use absolutes, your writing then becomes unrelatable.
Exactly. It's you're not being completely truthful, and that it reads like when people are being misleading or aren't really saying how it is. You can tell.
Okay,
it's
so Chris Thompson, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, my ADHD is all over the fucking place, and I took my medicine, and that shit is not working. So
hang in there, Sarah.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
Yep,
but I'm so sad that we're not gonna be in the same coast. This weekend.
Yeah, there'll be other times I'll be out in Portland too, and I'm sure you'll come back. I know AWP, the Association of Writers and Writing Programs, is in Portland next year too, so we're going to be doing that.
You know,
so I'll be out in Portland.
No, I know you fucking visit, Chris. I know you do.
I usually do an annual trip out for Wordstock, and I'd like to come out more though. I actually love your city.
Yeah. Oh, you asked me how
are you
Portland
enjoying
was.
It?
Yes. Let's go see Psychic Connection. Okay, so, and then let me know if you have to bounce. I know you.
I got like 5 more minutes, if that's cool.
Oh, you're so nice. See?
No problem.
I'm sorry technology did not happen. I obviously need to get a new computer. If you're listening to this podcast, okay, and you want to donate $1,000 to me so that I can get a new computer, paypal.me/Sarah Fader.
If you could start a GoFundMe for Sarah, because it wouldn't be cool if Sarah started on her own, GoFundMe for Sarah. Let's get this going. It's time.
I double, triple, like, what's that dude's name from Double Dare? What the fuck is that guy's name?
Mark Summers.
Mark Summers double dare you to Facebook and tweet, Sarah should.
You know
Sarah
that should, Mark Summers was completely OCD.
I know.
That stuff,
I know.
All the things going on at
I
the
know.
Show were just driving him crazy.
I can't even. So my dad told me this.
Yeah, it's a. I guess it's a fact. I don't think it's like one of those things
where
like people say that's
it's
real.
Not,
I think
it's
a real
it's
thing.
It's not an urban legend. It is fucking
yeah, urban
real.
Legend.
Is
one
he,
of those things.
If he is still alive, Mark Summers, if you're listening to this podcast, I want to relate and bond with you over OCD because I feel you, bro. I really do.
Yeah,
I
can't imagine what he was going through. He played it so cool.
He did. It's a good thing that he wasn't on You Can't Do That on television because
that
would have destroyed him.
He would have broken down
broken down on camera. There are people, by the way, mostly men, that if they were on You Can't Do That on television would be covered in fucking slime.
Yeah.
Also, the majority of the Pacific Northwest would be covered in slime because they don't know. They constantly don't know. That's what I was going to say. So,
oh, really? So you're having some problems relating to some of the people out there?
That's an understatement. But
oh, really?
here's what I'm going to say about Portland. It's a lovely, wonderful, beautiful, nature-filled place.
Yeah.
There are wonderful, open-minded people.
Yeah, there are. A lot of artists, a lot of writers.
However,
mm-hmm.
What drives me crazy, and I think this would piss you off if you were here for an extended period of time or moved here with your family, is the call-out culture.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can tell you many stories about this, but you only have 3 minutes. So,
yeah. What
I'm saying is, if you say something that somebody thinks is politically incorrect, they will verbally eviscerate you.
Oh, really? That's, you know what, that culture, I know it's bothering a lot of people, that it feels like people are going a little too far on that.
I don't have a problem. If somebody, there are exceptions to my tolerance for freedom of speech,
mm-hmm.
hate speech, derogatory language.
Absolutely,
you know,
100%.
Homophobia, racism, transphobia, things of that
mm-hmm.
nature. However, if I misgender you, okay, and it is unintentional, and I say, I am so sorry, I understand your gender pronoun, let me correct myself. You do not need to yell at me
mm-hmm.
or tell me that I am transphobic. You do, you know.
I think it really goes back a lot of times to intent, and if there's no malicious intent, and, you know, you're obviously, once you learn that someone wants to be called something, that you'd want to fix that. If your intent is of good nature, we should all ease up a little bit. Because we're, you know, everyone's trying to figure out how to treat each other and treat each other right in this new day and age. But like, let's not be so quick to bite
let's
each other's
not
fucking
be,
head off.
No, shut the fuck up is what I want to say. Like, here's okay, McSweeney's, and then we'll bounce. Clearly,
let's do it.
We want to do this again. But let me just say, as a shout out, so I think. I'm going to just put it out there that perhaps we should do Writing Your Truth in June.
Okay. Yeah, I could use a little time. This at least a month. June sounds great.
So I'll start a Google Doc and we'll make an actual curriculum so we don't have to, like, fly by the seat of our pants, proverbially.
Yes. Let's do it right.
And we'll I think...
As we've done,
I think 4 sessions is probably enough, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's perfect.
I'm just going to throw a price out there. So it's in person. I think we should then say... Let me know. We'll talk about it. Let's not Jew it up. Okay, the price is TBA, but there are 4 sessions, and I think we should do like the in-person sessions, and I'll be Skyping in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. That'll work.
And then and actually, if Chris is down, Chris can come to my house, and we can both be here Skyping in.
Okay, you know what? Let me talk to Chris. I'll be, like I said, I'll be with him this weekend in San Francisco. He really enjoyed it, too. He loved that
part. You know, my cat loved him so much.
Oh, really?
I have a picture of him and my cat that I got to find.
That's awesome.
On Instagram. But I love talking to you. I miss you. You're amazing.
Yeah, I miss you, too. Thank you for having me on. It means a lot. I always want to do this, and it's tons of fun talking. That's one of the things I love about podcasts. It kind of forces you to have the conversation and focus in on it. And
let's circle back and just say, okay, McSweeney's real quick.
Yep.
Real quick, and I know you got to do errands because we're all busy New Yorkers here. But but I'm going to say this before I do that. My response
mm-hmm.
to the text message.
Yes.
I figured it out.
Do it. What is it?
if you want to talk about this, you can call me when you have time.
Perfect. Because that gets you off the medium that you don't like, which is texting. And it forces the next move over there. And then
thank you for asking, I'm going to say.
Yep.
It means a lot. It's gratuitous.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you for asking. The gratitude is already implied.
Okay. If you'd That's like perfect. To talk about this, call me when you have time.
Great.
And then,
wow,
you
piece that together really well.
Talk about this. You can call me. You can.
You
call
have
me
the choice.
When you have the time. The time mm-hmm. or time?
When you have time.
Time. That's more.
At the time is like asking for it. That time.
Now, Michael.
Let's do it.
Michael.
Mm-hmm.
If I am tempted to use my OCD and respond, I am going to text you.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
And
don't send it that
you
way.
You are going to talk me off of the ledge.
Off the ledge.
And you are going to tell me not to do it.
You got it.
Okay?
That's a deal.
Please. I cannot do this without you. I need to control myself, and I don't have that self-control right now.
I gotcha.
Okay. You're the best. All right.
All right.
I can't believe I didn't think of that before. You're an amazing autonomous person.
Hey, you had to work that out yourself.
I know. I had to think about it. Slow the brain down. Okay, here we go. We're going to close on McSweeney's.
Great. Thank you again.
Okay, here we go. You're amazing. And follow Michael at Across the Margin, at Mike Shizza, S-H-Z-A, as an ode to Wu-Tang.
Ah, she knows. And yes, the podcast is called Across the Margin, the podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, all that, acrossthemargin.com. Check it out.
Yeah, if you want to submit to Across the Margin, Michael is very open to submissions. If you know me,
bring it.
If you know me, you obviously fucking know me, because nobody that's not related to me or friends with me listens to my podcast, I don't think. By the way,
I bet you'd be surprised.
Yeah, so that's the next thing I was going to say, is that if you are not my friend, I guess, like, please let me know you listen to this, because I have no fucking idea. Okay.
That'd be cool.
A brutally honest social media job interview by Sarah Fader. Interviewer: Hi, I'm the most important person you need to meet right now. Me. I'm extremely insecure, but I'm going to pretend I'm confident and know things so that you might be fooled and hire me. Interviewer: Great. I'm going to pretend that I don't know what you're doing and go along with your guise of being confident. You pretend really well. Uh-oh, I used really. That's all right. Oh, snap. Hypocrite. Me: Thank you so much. I've been honing my pretending skills for a while. I've had several of these interviews, and some of them have even resulted in actual jobs. Interviewer: That's wonderful, but I actually don't care. Let's get started. Tell me about yourself. Me: You know how much I hate that question, but I'm going to give you a fabricated answer based on what you want to hear, I think. Interviewer: That's impressive. Now I'm going to ask you some questions that I think will totally fuck you up. Me: I thought you might do that. I prepared a monologue from Hamlet, just in case you wanted to hear it. Do you want to hear it? Interviewer: No. Me: Okay, now I'm going to ask you how much you're going to pay me. I'm extremely uncomfortable about this. Can you tell? Interviewer: I can tell. I'm so excited that you feel awkward. It pleases me more than I can express on my face. Can you see it through the passive-aggressive language I'm using? Me: I can see it, yes. How can I ask you how much you will pay me? Interviewer: You can, but I won't really answer you with a real answer. I'll tell you that we will pay you based upon how much you know. You do know things, right? Me: I know some things, but some of them are not things that will help me work in social media. Should I tell you those things? Animals love me. Interviewer: Let's focus on your strengths. What would you say are your strongest qualities?
Mommy, what? Carly's got really scary.
Okay, get her, please. Me: Decoding bullshit questions like these? Interviewer: That's great. Okay, well, it's been great getting to know you. I'm going to pretend like you'll hear from me, but actually, we're never going to call you, okay? Me: Okay. Interviewer: I just want to be clear that on the fact that you didn't get this job, but I'm pretending that you got it. You understand? Me: I think so. Interviewer: Don't ever call us. Me: All right. Interviewer: You're a great person. Me: Interviewer: Wonderful meeting you. Me: Yeah. Interviewer: See you on the street then? Me: Bye. Interviewer: We might call you. Just kidding. Me: That's not funny. Interviewer: Oh, I think it's hilarious. That's the end.
Boom. Boom. Yeah, check that out. This is at McSweeney's, right?
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I think it's fun. I think it's tons of fun.
Yeah, is it accurate? Like, would you say that interviews can be like that?
I would say they could steer that way rather easily, of course.
Yeah, that was inspired by the fact that I've been on so many social media job interviews, and my friend Candace and I talk about this all the time. She used to work for Yahoo, but actually got the job. So what we say is, like, you go to these interviews. By the way, I have to stop using the word like, but we're from the 90s.
Oh, it's fine.
It's very unprofessional. And I know you have to go. I promise you, you're so great and patient. But these people, a lot of the time, not black and white thinking, not always, much of the time, act like this. We love you so much, and you're so talented, and we're going to hire you. And then they don't fucking call you.
They don't even respond. Yeah. It's the fake front is it's not a good look.
You know what? If you don't think that I'm good for this position,
just let me know.
Just let me know. And I appreciate that. I really do.
I don't think the need to get anyone's hopes up or to lie is good.
Yeah, and lying through omission is a real thing.
It's a real fucking thing.
So yeah, that's what we're gonna end this on. Please don't lie to us. Please don't use the word on accident. Please phrase on accident. But yeah, I appreciate that honesty. Now let me just draw an analogy. The way that person behaved in the interview, pretending to like you, pretending you're gonna get the job, is the epitome of the Pacific Northwest.
You think so? Yeah.
They're like, awesome, and then they backstab the shit out of you.
Oh Jesus.
You gotta appreciate New Yorkers, because, like, let's say you were interviewing me for like an intern position at Across the Margin, and you're like, and let's say like I just sucked at grammar and my resume sucked, like you'd be like, thank you so much, but this is not gonna work out.
This is not gonna pan out for us. Absolutely.
And that's all.
Blatant honesty is awesome. People get used to it around here too, and they don't see it as cold, which is, I think, is great.
But see, in my experience with you, is that you are also kind. You know, in your honesty, like, you're empathetic, like, you're honest, but you're not an asshole.
I'm trying, some days.
We'll talk about that next time.
All right, great. I'd love to be back.
There will be a next time, so let's email about that workshop. Let's email about the workshop, and I love you.
I love you, too.
And I will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. I had fun. I had a blast. Okay, lastly,
follow Michael at Across the Margin. At Across the Margin, and thank you for being a friend. I will use you as my accountability partner should I be tempted to compulsively text.
I gotcha.
Bye.
See you guys. Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.